Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7 all the way through verse 21. Verse 7 through verse 21 of 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray as this message this morning that you've given to me to deliver this morning, and you knew each one that would be here this morning, Father, so I pray that you would speak to each one of us personally, that your word would go out and touch our hearts, change our lives for the better. I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done. I pray that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word. I pray, Father, that you put the very words in my mouth that I need to speak this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would increase, that I would decrease, that you would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that's due your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Love is an extraordinary gift of God. Love is from God. It's the source of the love's presence in all of creation, known as man and woman. God created man and woman. It's a gift that he has given to unite creature and creator. God loved us first, right? We didn't go out seeking for God. He came looking for us. He loved us so much. And we're going to see how much God loved us as we go through this morning. But so there's so many distortions about love out there in the world. We have this idea as humans. We look at love from a human aspect, from a human understanding of the word. And we think of, I love you if. You have to do something to gain our love, right? You have to do something to keep that. God says, I love you in spite of you. God's love is unconditional. Man's love comes with conditions attached, right? We have this thing, and I hate to say it, and if anybody's ever used this line, well, maybe God's going to step on some toes. I no longer love them. It's because you chose not to. Love is a choice. We have to choose to love God. Love is a choice. People say, well, I just got burned out on God, so I'm not reading the word anymore. I'm not praying anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not, because I just got burned out. You chose not to love God. Love is a choice. We see from the human standpoint, the love is physical. We think that's what love is. It's all physical. The interpretation that we have of this word love is way off base. We need to look at what love really is. And in verses 7 and 8 from our text, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." John tells us that love comes from God. He is love, right? We get this understanding of God is love, right? I can't tell you how many times I've been told God would not send anyone to hell because God is love. A loving, caring God would not send anybody to hell. And the answer to that's, you're right. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. He gives us a choice. We get to choose the path that we started out on, which is a path to hell, or we get to choose Christ and salvation in Him and eternal life. He gives us a choice. As we're going through Satanology on Thursday nights here, I've been teaching people that Satan has tried to change everything that the Word of God says. He's tried to manipulate. He's tried to counterfeit what God does. Satan's trying to mess with us. Satan wants us to believe that God does not love us, and that's why there's a hell to begin with. But the Bible tells us clearly that hell was created for the devil and his angels. God gave us a way not to go there. Just like I mentioned, Mark with his dad Bob. Bob has a way of escape from where he's headed. He just has to accept it. Anybody here ever receive a gift? Anybody ever given you a gift? If they haven't, I'm sorry. Somebody should have given you a gift somewhere along the line, right? But it wasn't yours until you actually received it. Right? I mean, I could have a ton of gifts up here and say, these are all for you guys. And you all walk out of here and not pick one of them up, then they're not yours, right? Because you haven't received them. We need to receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to be able to understand this word love until we know what it means. And we've got to find it defined. So, I did some research. People say, well, that's your job, right? You're the pastor. You're supposed to research. I do a lot of studying. The American Dictionary of the English Language, Noah Webster, defines love as an affection of the mind excited by beauty and worth of any kind or by the qualities of an object which communicate pleasure, sensual or intellectual. It is opposed to hatred. Love between the sexes is a compound affection consisting of esteem, benevolence, and animal desire. Love is excited by pleasing qualities of any kind, as by kindness, benevolence, charity, and by the qualities which render social intercourse agreeable. In the latter case, love is ardent friendship or a strong attachment springing from good will and esteem, and the pleasure derived from the company, civilities, and kindness of others. And then it goes on and on and on from there. But we read in verse 7 of our text that love is from God, who is not of this world. Webster's definition involved a lot of objects of the world. But God is not of this world. So the problem with our human definition of love is that people tend to view it from a worldly view. A worldly view. And with the eye instead of through the spirit. We got to remember that God is love. God is love. Therefore, a human definition of love comes short in describing what love is. The modern English love is one single word that encompasses many different meanings, creating misunderstandings. Very much so when we're trying to communicate a godly love. We need to take a look at the original New Testament Greek in order to understand what type of love John is talking about here. So in the Greek, there are different words for love. There's storge, there's philia, there's eros, and there's agape. Each of these words have distinct meanings. Storge is an example of love between family members. Phileo is a friendship between kindred spirits. Eros, which isn't even found in the New Testament at all, is where we get our English word erotic. And agape is a godly love, an unconditional love. Remember I earlier said God loves us in spite of us. He loves us unconditionally. God loves us. In fact, the Bible tells us clearly that God loved us when we were enemies, when we were at enmity with Him. He still loved us. It's easy to love people that love you, right? Can you imagine what it'd be like trying to love somebody who hates you, that's your enemy? And yet the Bible tells us that that's exactly what God did. He loved us when we were enemies of God. All throughout the main passage, all the references to love are the Greek word agape. The love spoken here in 1 John chapter 4, the unconditional kind. Now it was said that eros is all take. Philia is give and take, but agape is all give. You know, when I spend time with couples who are about to get married and all, I tell them, first of all, you're not going to change the other person. You know, we'll get married and they'll change, right? Wrong. Not going to happen. The only one that's going to change a heart is God. So you can't do that. But I tell them, don't fall into the lie that marriage is 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. You both have to give 100%. It's give, 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 give. People say, no, it's give and take. No. If it's give and take, somebody is taking and somebody's giving. Somebody's not getting the giving part. And pretty soon, it doesn't last because one's giving and one's taking. It's got to be give, give, give. So we need to look at the sacrifice of love in verses 9 through 11. Says, "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." John's giving us right here a perfect example. He presents this ultimate example of godly love. Christ's death on the cross for you and me. The greatest example of love that there could be. The greatest expression of love there could ever be. John 15:13 tells us, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The sacrifice of one's own life for another human being is the greatest sacrifice that could be given. Years ago, I had a guy tell me, he says, "If I was to jump in front of a bullet and give my life for my friend, that equates to eternal life." I said, "That's not what the Bible teaches." Eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that He left heaven's glory, came down here, knowing full well how He would be treated. Knowing full well that He came to die that we could have eternal life. Knowing that He was going to be beaten, spit on, nailed to a cross, mocked and ridiculed. He knew all of that. And yet He still came. Now, I've mentioned a couple times in my preaching that how many here in this group would be willing to come and lay down their life for other people knowing that they were going to spit on you, beat you, mock you, ridicule you, and nail you to a cross? Probably no takers. But Jesus loved us so much that He said, I'm willing to do it. And then if by chance there was somebody that was willing to do that and say, yeah, I would do that. And then as you progress through all of those different steps to the nailing on the cross, I could just say, well, I'm done. I've had enough, right? But Jesus didn't do that. He said, no. In fact, after they nailed Him to the cross and all, He cried out to God the Father and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Somebody wrongs you, and what do you want? You want your pound and a half of flesh, right? Not just a pound, you want a pound and a half of flesh. You want them to feel it. Instead, Jesus said, forgive them. He didn't lash out at them. He said, forgive them. One of the hardest things for men to do is to forgive somebody who's wronged them. Now let me say, someone doesn't have to literally lay down their life in death to lay down their life for someone else. Have you ever given of yourself to help somebody else out? Even when it's not convenient, right? Ever get those calls? I, being a pastor, sometimes get those late in the middle of the night calls and say, you know, so-and-so's in the hospital and they're not going to make it. Can you come down and pray with us? Sure. I can do that. People go, well, they interrupted your sleep. Well, what's more important? We'll have time to sleep later. But that's an interruption. Now, how can you do that? How can you just drop everything, forget about sleep, get in the car and drive to the hospital and pray with people? Because you care about people. You love them. Why? Because God loved us first. And He's told us that we are to have love for others. You'll say, well, that's kind of crazy. Why would you love somebody you don't even know? I have people I don't know call me and say, a loved one passed away, will you come do the service for us? How did you get my name? Oh, so-and-so that you know called me and said you'd be willing to do that. Yeah, I would. They have a need. I don't know who they are, but God gave us a love for one another. We need to be willing to do that. How about just lending a listening ear? Sometimes people just need to talk. Well, who's got time for that? Well, make time. God makes time for us. Let's make some time. So, sacrificial love is not loss. It's actually a gain. There's so much that we get from that if we're willing to do it God's way. It should be natural. Should be natural. In verse 10 of our text, it said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sin, of our sins. We need to understand this sacrificial love It expects nothing in return. You know, God showed his love towards us, but he does not expect to receive our love in return. Now, he would like it. But see, God knows our hearts already. In fact, the Bible tells us clearly that God knows even the very intents of our heart. He knows our thoughts. That's kind of scary, isn't it? God knows our very thoughts. Yeah. God knows everything about us, but he doesn't force us to love him. He allows us to freely love him back. In fact, the Bible tells us if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. We need to love others even if they do not love us back. Yeah. I remember several years ago I was out knocking doors and it was so blasted cold out I had gloves on, and knocking on a door with gloves on, you don't hear anything, right? It's like muffled sound. So I took my glove off and I knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door and she said, "Why are you out there? It's freezing cold." And I said, "Lord, thank you for putting your hand over my mouth, because I wanted to say it's not for my health. It's because God gave me a love for people. And I want them to have the same thing I have. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ." When we look at things of we need to love people in spite of, just like God loves us, right? There's some people that aren't very lovable in the world, right? I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, right? You got to shave and you got to get ready and all, and you do that and you think, you're not very lovable. And we can all, if we're honest, say, we're not very lovable at times. Now, we do have our moments when we're more lovable than others, right? But we're not very lovable. We're more judgmental than lovable. But God says, in spite of who you are, I still love you. In spite of what you've done, I still love you. Pretty great, huh? And then God seen through us, verses 12 through 15 of our text says, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Excuse me. Verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." We're told that no one has seen God. I'm going to tell you that I was not walking the planet when Jesus came to earth. I've been accused of being old enough to be sometimes, but I was not here then. I have not physically seen him with my eyes. But I know he exists. I know he exists. I could just see in different things that, and I told him just a few weeks ago, we're coming on spring. Don't get too excited. It could snow some more before then, but we're coming up on spring. Things are going to start blooming again, and you're going to see God in action, right? He's going to take that which is dormant and bring it back to life. It's going to be amazing to see all the stuff and all the beauty that's out there. Have you ever heard the hymn that says, "Let others see Jesus in you"? Well, the first verse of that says this: "While passing through this world of sin, and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without within, let others see Jesus in you." It's a good question. Do others see Jesus in you? When you're out and about in the world, do others see Jesus in you? And I'm not talking about wearing a billboard that says, Jesus is in me, right? I'm just saying, are you living your life in such a way that others see Jesus Christ in you? They should be able to. There's actually a way for a person to see God and His Son, Jesus Christ. How, you might ask, right? Well, Oswald Chambers, in his famous My Utmost for His Highest, says this, and I quote, God is the source of love, and He expects His children to be channels of love to others, unquote. Others can see God in you if you allow God to be a channel of love through you. And then extend that unconditional love, right? Instead of telling people, I love you only if you do this, this, and this, you say, I love you in spite of, right? I'm a father of two daughters. There were times in their growing up that I thought, I just want to throttle you because you're not listening, you're not doing what you're supposed to. Even though I was upset, disappointed in their behavior, I still loved them. Do you know there's nothing they could do that would change the fact that I'm still their dad and I still love them? If I can do that, think how much greater God the Father's love is for us. No matter what we do, He still loves us. In John 14:23, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Holy Spirit comes and resides. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Helps me with my everyday walk. Helps me to do what I need to do. What I'm supposed to do. John chapter 15. If you'll turn over there real quick and we'll come back to 1 John. But John 15, verses 7 through 8. Says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In other words, if the words of Christ abide in us, and we obey them and live them, then God will be seen through our faith-filled actions, and we will glorify God. Look at John 16:14. It says, He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And then God equals love. Verse 16 of our text, 1 John 4:16. Says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse says, God is love. We saw that also in verse 8. And it means that an individual who demonstrates the love of God to others simultaneously is abiding in God because God is love. And love is God. Serving as the hands and the feet of Jesus, reflecting that very face of love. If you're a child of God, you should be reflecting God to others. People should see that. And then there's no fear in love, verses 17 and 18. of our text. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. John basically is saying here that we demonstrate love, and we have love in our heart. We need not to be afraid of the day of judgment, because there is no fear in love. Galatians 5:14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Right? They asked, "Who's my neighbor?" Right? Look around. Right? Neighbors are everywhere. People say, "No, it's the person who lives in this dwelling and this dwelling, and those are my neighbors." Period. No, look around. We have neighbors everywhere. Everywhere. Do we love them? He was referring to Matthew chapter 22. If you'll turn over there real quick. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. It's where Jesus is speaking. Matthew 22, starting in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." People say, "Well, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments." Well, first of all, you can't. But if you do these two things, love God first, love your neighbor as yourself, all the rest hang on those two. If we just do those two things, everything else falls right into place. It's amazing. It's amazing. Demonstrating our love for God and others glorifies God, but it also will lead others to Jesus Christ. It's amazing. You know, you can talk to people till you're blue in the face, but they're not going to listen until they think that you care. You have to care. God gave us a love for Him and a love for others. We exercise that and we show them that we care, they're going to be interested in what we have to say. And then point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then love others as God loves us. In verses 19 through 21, "We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." In verse 19, it tells us flat out, we love Him because He first loved us. In other words, we should love God because God loves us. Let's not forget the fact that love is a two-way street. It's a two-way street. This love in verse 19 can also be applied to our fellow man. Verse could be read that we love others because He first loved us. Bible also tells us that if we don't love our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and we don't love people who don't know God as their own personal Savior, then we don't really love God at all. We got to show love because we have been loved. We have been loved. We are loved. Let's say also when we don't feel like it. Right? A lot of times when people say, "Well, I just don't feel like it." Well, love people anyway. Well, you don't understand. I don't feel like love them anyway. Can you imagine if God said, you know, I just don't feel like it anymore. I just don't love them. I'm just going to not keep everything together. I'm going to just let everything spin out of control because I've just decided I don't love them anymore. I've seen marriages and families shipwrecked because just don't love anymore. That's minuscule compared to what would happen if God said, I don't love them anymore. I'm going to take my hand off of this and I'm going to let everything spin out of control. Yeah. We'd be gone, folks. And I'm not talking over a period of time. I'm talking if God let this thing spin out of control, we'd be out of here in a quicker than that. Thank God he holds it all together. Because he loves us. If we're supposed to love at all times, then our love has to be unconditional. Has to be. In spite of what people are doing. Looking at the back at the Greek words for love, the storge, phileo, eros, and agape, the first three in that, are conditional types of love. Agape is unconditional. And the Bible teaches us that if God's love is truly within us, then we're going to love others no matter what, no strings attached. We have to come to find out that through looking at this passage of Scripture, we see that man's human definition of love is way off base. Way off base. If we want to be close to our Lord and Savior, if we want to be as close to Him as possible, then we need to have this kind of love. This kind of love that's revealed in this chapter of John. We need to love people unconditional. We need to do it every single day. Every single day. We need to jump at every opportunity that God gives us to show someone love. And do it every chance we get. If we don't understand this love and this scripture speaks about, or if you never experienced the love of Jesus Christ, let me encourage you, while you still have breath, you can still experience the love of God. If you wish to partake of God's love and receive the gift of His love, which is eternal life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to repent of your sins. You've got to cry out to Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life. And we're going to end with John chapter 3. I want us to turn there. Verses 16 and 17. I want people to read it as I follow along, and I'll read it, but follow along and look at it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because He loved us even when we didn't love Him. Unconditional love. There's nothing like it. And thank God for it. So this week, people are thinking about Valentine's Day on Tuesday. Think about unconditional love. Instead of the, I love you if I get the right box of chocolates, or I love you if I get the right jewelry, or I love you if you make the right meal, right? Or, I love you if you take me to the right restaurant. Or, I love you if, right? Let's think of unconditional love. And love in spite of. God does. And if God is love, we can too. by knowing Him and walking with Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the true meaning of love, the biblical sense of the word love. We thank You for Your unconditional love. Father, again today, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray, Father, that today would be that day, that they would not leave here this morning without knowing for sure that they've accepted Jesus Christ and that free gift, that gift of eternal life. I pray, Father, for those of us who have been born-again believers in Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, are we showing others that love? Are we loving others unconditionally? If not, we need to change. We need to follow what Your word tells us. So I pray, Father, as we have a time of invitation this morning, I pray, Father, as we turn it over to You, that You would have free reign in the hearts, that You would show us what we need to do, and that we would follow through. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen.